going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Sets up high, stares at Lindor, the payoff pitch. Vientos hits it high in the air to left field. It's got legs. It's deep. It's back near the wall. It is gone! Mark Vientos has added yet another chapter to what is becoming a ridiculous postseason for the New York Mets. He's tied the game.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 304, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. And you know, me and Fleeks were just talking off air, and maybe this is the best way to crystallize what I was saying about the plan and with the New York Giants for this draft and the plan and why they decided, why John Mara decided to keep Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. And obviously that was a huge decision. And we've discussed it, you know, every which way on whether it was right or wrong and why he did it and his comments to the media after deciding to keep Shane and Daboll and, you know, talking about needs to be in a better mood and what does that mean and how many wins do they have to keep their jobs. And, you know, I was listening to Keith earlier, and I've heard him say this before, and a lot of, you know, now that this seems to be the new thought process that they have to just take the best player and win as many games, otherwise they're fired. When early on it was, well, you have to draft a quarterback. I remember Evan doing a whole show about, well, this is now without the top overall, you know, pick. Like, the last thing I want to do is keep Shane and Daboll, who are going to force it to draft a young quarterback and, you know, force that to keep their job. So it's like funny how the, like, so much has shifted in the conversation about the Giants draft and what they should do. Early on, it was, well, you have to draft a quarterback to save your job. Now it's, you have to take the best player available to save your job. Like, they have to be better. They have to have a vision. Like, that's why I always had a problem with what John Mara said after keeping Shane and Daboll. Because, to paraphrase it and to just combine everything together, this is what I took from what John Mara said. John Mara wanted to make it very clear he was annoyed and pissed off, as much as we are, the fans, and that it's unacceptable to him, but he believes in these guys and he's going to give them one more chance to have a winning season. And I think that's a mistake. It should have been, I'm going to give them one more chance to rebuild it. That I believed in these guys, I believed in their vision. The year one of their regime was a positive, but ended up becoming a negative. And for many different factors, we haven't had the success I wanted, but we are in a position now with the third pick in the draft and with the franchise, I still believe acquiring talent and in a better position cap-wise and all that, I'm going to give these guys the opportunity to do what I hired them to do 3 years ago and rebuild this franchise because I still believe in them. Otherwise, fire them. And that's where I felt John Mara went wrong, as opposed to saying, I'm giving them another chance to rebuild. I'm going to give them another chance for 6 or 7 wins. Like, that sucks to me. And I'm big on the vision of the franchise, and that's why Like, to me, the answer at the court, the answer in the draft and the answer, you know, right now is very simple. You brought, like, and I guess this is where I differ from a lot of different guys. I remember I was talking to the great Brian Rascona, who filled in for Fliegelman one day a couple weeks ago. The fear, and I get this from a lot of Giant fans, and I know Lori Rubinson has talked about this, the fear of drafting the quarterback and then them getting fired and the new regime stuck with a quarterback they didn't draft or believe in necessarily. And I understand that fear. I understand it. But I can't live under it. And if I chose to keep Brian Daboll, like if I made that decision and I'm John Mara, there's only one way to do this. I'm not hindering this year's team or hindering their ability to do their jobs or, you know, taking away some of their biggest strengths when I decided to keep them here because of fear of what happens if they fail. I can't live that way. So for me, this draft is very simple. And this is a good way to articulate it. He brought back Brian Daboll. He brought back Joe Shane. And it sounded like he was more confident in the general manager than he is the head coach. But for me, the head coach is the guy who's going to be on the ground putting the work in to develop this quarterback. This draft pick should just be, when you decided to keep Brian Daboll, you had to give him the right to pick his quarterback. Otherwise, there's no point in keeping him. Otherwise, he's just a lame duck coach, and you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, and you're afraid that when that shoe drops, you know, the socks that the Giants are wearing, that the new GM won't like them. Like, that's it can't go that way. So for me, this draft needs to be, and if there's any discourse in the room, like, and this is the other thing, and this is Joe Shane and John Mara. If there is real discourse in the room about Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders, well, you know, this group likes him, but that group doesn't like him, and this group likes this quarterback better, and it's 50-50. Well, I'll tell you this, whichever side the head coach is on, that's the quarterback you take. And that's what I think this third pick should be. This pick should be, for me, Brian Daboll, who's the guy you think you can turn into the franchise quarterback? Which quarterback left, now that we don't have the first pick and Cam Ward was never a possibility since week 17 of the season, with the quarterbacks remaining after Cam Ward, do you believe there's one that can be a franchise quarterback? And if so, let's take him third. That's what the New York Giants should be doing. You don't keep a guy and then say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. I don't trust you to let you do this, that, and the other. Well, then why did you keep him? To bring in Russell Wilson and hope he coaches Russell Wilson and teaches that old dog new tricks and hopefully you win 7 games with Russell Wilson? That's why you kept him? Like, none of this makes sense to me. None of it. Brian Daboll needs to pick the quarterback of the future. That should be the third pick for the New York Giants. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Chris, you're going to be Joe Shane for a second. And right about as you asked Brian Daboll, which quarterback can you turn into a career quarterback? And he tells you none of them. The phone is going to ring. And Brandon Bean from the Buffalo Bills is on the other line. And he says, Joe, I'm going to offer you my entire draft for either your pick, and I'm going to do you a favor and tell you I'm going to take Travis Hunter or Malik Nabers. We have 10 picks, a first, 2 seconds, no third, and a full slate. 10 picks for you.
What do you think? Malik Nabers?
Either your pick, which I'm going to take Travis Hunter with, or Malik Nabers. Would you make the trade for the Bills' entire draft?
No.
I didn't think you would. If you want to rebuild the team, that's the way draft, to do it. Though? The Bills' first pick is the 30th overall. They have 2 second rounders, and then they do not have a third and then a full slate after that. We'll also give you next year's first.
Well, there you go. Now at least we're talking. You're not giving me this whole year's draft and thinking you got 7 picks, great, 4th and 5th rounders. No, thank you. To move down to 30-3, you're giving me multiple first round picks. You're giving me the 30th.
I will give you the whole draft this year and next year's one.
Yeah.
Ooh, next year's two. That's about the end of it. Next year's two is I would cut the cord.
I need this year's 1 and 2 and next year's 1 and 2. Like
100%.
That's the baseline of what I need.
I'm in on that. Now, which would you rather trade, Malik Nabers or what will be Travis Hunter?
I'd rather trade the pick than trade Malik Nabers.
No, I can't argue. I think Hunter or Nabers would put the Bills over.
I mean,
oh god.
Yeah, I guess, but that's. I guess I'd rather trade the pick. I'm trying to think. Unless I believe, like you're saying, that scenario they don't believe in the quarterback.
I personally don't. I mean, that's just my opinion. You know,
if they love the quarterback, then I guess I would trade Malik Nabers. But I'm not interested in making either of those trades to Buffalo for the 30th pick in this draft. I'm not.
Nah, I figure that. Let me just throw one out there for Devil fans. The great defenseman Quinn Hughes in Vancouver has said he wants to play with his two brothers in either Jersey or Vancouver. So look for a massive trade in all three Hughes brothers being in Jersey next year. Chris, have a good show.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to mull that over in my head. I don't want to trade the third pick overall at all. So... That's not what I'm looking to do. As the Devils did fall to the Hurricanes 3-1 last night, and they now are down in the series 2-0. We also had the Lou Lamoriello news out of the Islanders, as he is out as executive of the Islanders after 7 years. He did a great job there. He came in and changed things. I mean, Lou Lamoriello is one of the great executives in all of professional sports. Like, he has been, what he did with the Devils all those years was remarkable. He's one of the great executives in all of sports. He immediately came to the Islanders and kind of turned the franchise around, and they had the back-to-back runs to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they built a team that the fan base, you know, really loved, but it has not been the same the last couple of years. It is probably time. I don't even know how old is Lou. Has got to be in his. I didn't even check how old Lou is, but I mean, Lou Lamoriello has how long? How old?
82.
So I just think it was time to move on, and not so sure the Rangers shouldn't be doing the same thing with Chris Drury as they're looking for a new head coach. But we'll see what happens with Patrick Roy. I would guess he's probably on his way out too. Whenever you fire the GM, you typically allow the new GM to come in and pick his coach. So, but hockey is so damn different with coaches. It's hard to, you know, get a feel on this. There are so many retreads. There's so much, like, it's hard to get a feel on what's going on with the coaching carousel that is in the NHL, or how this new regime with whoever it is, how they'd feel about Patrick Roy. But you would imagine they'd want their own head coach. And it just feels like it's time for a regime and a regime change with the Islanders, as they've kind of been stagnant and, you know, been unable really to get back to that level of play they had a few years ago under Trotz. And really that's where it felt like it changed, right? When they fired Barry Trotz, that was the beginning of the end. And I think this was a positive thing. I think it's time for Lou to move on. As great as Lou has been, and as great a turnaround as he provided with the Islanders a few years ago, I think it is time to move on. And then you get to the Rangers, since we're talking hockey here for a second, is, again, the Devils are down 2-0 to the Carolina Hurricanes in their playoff series. Again, the coaching carousel, I got to be honest with you. If I, you know, I would love to have Tortorella back. I think you could use his toughness, and just really, I love his quotes. I loved him and his time with the New York Rangers. I know that's going to be a name. I saw Marash bring up Alain Vigneault. I mean, literally, if any other sport, it would be preposterous to me to bring back a coach who had coached within the last 10 or so years with the franchise. But in hockey, I guess it's doable. But whatever the, you know, some real changes need to be made to both of these teams and the cores of their teams. Like, the Rangers really have to revisit what they think about the core of this team. I know Chris Kreider's out there trying to, you know, make his case to be back with the team this year. I think there's a real flaw within that team, within that organization right now, and both are going to have new head coaches, at least. Was I okay with Rex coming back with the Jets? I guess I was open to it for the short term. I had that whole concept of the bridge coach with Rex. I guess I would have been okay with Rex coming back. I guess that is the same with Tortorella. I'd be more than okay. If Torts got announced as the head coach of the Rangers again, I'd be thrilled, man. There is nothing better than post-game Torts. And that's proof that it doesn't work. Like, it's not a guarantee to get on your players and be successful. Right? Everyone, I had a caller earlier. Boone, he keeps saying the same crap. He's defending Devin Williams in the post-game, blah, blah. He always defends his players. Well, Torts gets on everybody, and they didn't win either. So I was okay with the Jets bringing back Rex Ryan for a kind of a bridge quarterback, bridge coach kind of idea, but that ultimately didn't happen. And instead, they got a coach who, I got to tell you, honest Jet fans, we'll get into the draft situation. I think I'd probably go offensive line. I think that's more of the Glenn kind of feel right now. Build up the line of scrimmages and kind of go about it that way. But I'm nervous about Glenn. I got to be totally honest with you. I'm really nervous over the last couple of interactions we've heard and seen from Aaron Glenn. I thought he did a really nice job in his opening press conference. And it's not that I don't think he could be a good coach. I think he can be a very good coach. He has been a good coach. He has the resume. He deserves this job. I'm not knocking the hire at all. But what I've heard from him and what I'm seeing from him over the last, you know, whether it's just the nature of his interactions with the media at the combine, you know, getting annoyed at answering questions about the quarterback. Now the situation, how he handled the Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, like, again, I believe Aaron Rodgers, and I know Muji went out of his way or, you know, to dismiss or did not answer the questions. I think that's exactly what he should have done. I didn't get a chance. I forgot to talk about that yesterday. Obviously, Muji was asked questions about the Aaron Rodgers, you know, comments on Pat McAfee, about their interaction and the meeting that took place between Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Like, there's nothing to say. Even if, you know, one, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is flat out lying. So, but even if he's, you know, being slightly misleading or embellishing or, you know, saying 20 seconds when it was really 20 minutes or whatever the case may be, the Jets have no benefit of answering the questions and going back and forth with Aaron Rodgers on a meeting that doesn't matter anymore. So I thought Muji handled that exactly right. As much as I probably think they handled the entire situation with Aaron Rodgers wrong, I do think that he was right to just move on and not try and get into a back and forth or correct anything or give the Jets truth in that scenario, the meeting with Aaron Rodgers. He was best to just move on. But, I mean, Aaron Glenn has just been, like, the way he's portrayed in that meeting, which, again, if you've heard him speak to the media, I have no doubt of how that meeting went with Aaron Rodgers. And I'm concerned with someone who's supposed to be this big culture builder, afraid of any sort of challenge towards that culture building. Like, the whole point of a great culture builder to me, I understand the thought process of the great culture builder can win without talent because he does it with culture. But I also think there's an idea of, hey, let's get a very talented team because I believe that he can build the culture and get the talent to be able to buy in. That's what it's about. He creates buy-in to the culture. And it just, it feels like everything he's done makes me believe he's quite, you know, they're not sure about that ability and want to make sure it's easy to step in day one. It's not easy in the NFL, and it takes talent. And we'll see what happens. But I just feel like his interactions with the media, this is a market he claims he knows, and he has not gone about handling business the way a successful coach in New York handles it. I think he's looked really bad over the last 2 or 3 months. After that initial press conference, I feel like him and this Jet regime really look bad. I'm concerned about the quarterback in Justin Fields. I don't think he's any good. And we'll see how they handle the draft. And we'll see how this, I do think he's going to get them to play a better brand of football. It's almost impossible not to. I think the defense is going to be far better. I think they fell apart when Robert Saleh was fired. I think you're going to see improvement in play, improvement in penalties, improvement in pre-snap penalties, improvement in a lot of things, because this team was awful at them last year. And I do think someone who knows what he's doing, which I'm sure and have no doubt that Aaron Glenn knows what he's doing, is going to come in here and just by sheer competence get better play out of this Jet team. And it sounds like they're going to pick up the fifth-year option on, you know, Sauce and Wilson. And so I think you'll have a talented roster, talented enough where I thought Aaron Rodgers could have led them to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I mean, that's why, like, I believe in the talent in this team. Always have. I believe this is a talented roster who's lost its way. But I just think Aaron Glenn, he's making me nervous with how he's handling all these situations. How he handled the Aaron Rodgers conversation, how he's handled the media sessions, his, you know, short answers, his I'm just this is not a market. You got to win if you want to act like Bill Belichick.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
888-808-1019. Let's go to Phil in Toms Rivers. What's up, Phil?
Christopher, how you doing? How was your vacation?
My vacation was great. Thank you for asking. Good
that
to be
is
back.
Great to hear. Now, listen, everything I said, I've been reading the Chargers site. They are in love with Kayvon. They are in love. And I'm hearing a number with one Kayvon pick at 21st. Yes. No. The Chargers are in love with him.
No way.
From what I read, I've been reading a lot on it, San Diego sites. I don't know why they love him so much, but they need a pass rusher. Bosa's gone. There's your first-round pick. Trade back up and get Shador. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I don't understand.
Okay, well, a couple things there. One, now, okay, you're making me at least – should the idea of Kayvon Thibodeau being the main piece of a package that gets you a first-round pick seems very difficult for me to believe.
I'm sure you're going to have to give up a third-rounder or a second-rounder with it.
All right,
okay,
but I'm open to that. I'm open to, especially if I draft Carter with the third overall pick. I'm certainly.
There you go. And we talked about this last week, and you said be bold, right?
Yes.
Why are they not on the phone with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, offering them? Listen. I know they don't like Shador. They don't, but they need a quarterback, and I'm not happy with Wilson and Winston. I don't see anything good coming out of this with them. And like you said before, if this is just to get 7 wins, I don't think they'll get that with these two. I think they have to get a quarterback in this first round because someone's going to trade up and get it.
Right.
And if Giants don't get it, we're going to be stuck again next year. Same exact position, same exact team, with one less manager, GM, or one less coach. Baltimore will not be back next year if this goes bad because I don't understand what they're doing. What you said before, the only one quarterback that has better stats than Justin Fields is Daniel Jones. So for your Jets, I called you up 2 years in a row, told you about the Jets. They were going to be terrible. You laughed at me. I just don't know. I just don't see the Jets being any good.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think they would have been far better if they didn't fire the coach. I do think there's talent there. We'll see what Justin Fields is. I don't have much belief in the quarterback room for the New York Jets, which is... If you've heard me speak, I feel that's a pretty important piece to a team, obviously.
100%.
I want to get back to what you mean by be bold, though, because I have said be bold, and to me that's take the quarterback.
We got to trade to get back into the first round.
I agree with that. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. That's fine and great and all, but again, the Chargers at 22, I hope...
Pittsburgh's 21.
Exactly. I mean, you're talking about... The Saints
well,
at
I'm
nine.
Well, I'm saying use that pick 21 to somebody
to then keep moving
get
up
back in the top 10.
Yeah,
excuse me.
To keep moving up.
Well, yeah, get that 21st pick.
Yeah,
draft your Abdul Carter. Make that trade before you pick the Carter.
Yeah,
get that first pick. Then you start calling everybody 5, 6, 7. Carolina. I have you read anything? Because everything I'm reading is Jackson Dart. That's who Dable likes. I don't know if it's a smoke
screen. Yeah, I don't know either. But if it is, then I'm all on board with taking Jackson Dart.
I'm with you too, bro.
And thank you for the call, Phil. If Brian Dable loves Jackson Dart, then I want Jackson Dart. I've said that from the beginning. I'm on what Brian Dable wants. I assume it's Shador Sanders. I've assumed it's Shador Sanders. I personally think Shador Sanders is more suited to come in here and be successful right away. And maybe now that they have two veteran quarterbacks, they feel they might have more time to develop Jackson Dart, who really, I mean, the talk of Jackson Dart in Ole Miss is that they took away half the field for him. You know, there was a lot of rollouts. There was a lot of, you know, making things easy, reads easy. And, you know, coming off of what we've just seen with Daniel Jones, that makes me nervous. My favorite quality of Shador Sanders is his ability to read the defense. And even his biggest detractors admit that that is an amazing, that's his one of his best skills. Like, Shedeur Sanders reads the defense and has been uber successful even with bad offensive line play. Like, those are the two things that we just got done watching Daniel Jones fail at. Reading the defense, making good decisions, and being able to play under the pass rush. Like, and those are Shedeur Sanders' two best qualities. That's why I'm interested in Shedeur Sanders. I believe the arm strength is there. It's not world class. Everyone knows that. But I think he can throw the ball well enough. I think he's accurate. I think he's accurate on the run. I think he's played behind terrible offensive lines without turning the ball over and still throwing touchdown passes. And he is elite at reading the field. That's why I want him. Jackson Dart might be able to outrun him, outthrow him, out-physical tool him. That's great. But in Ole Miss, they made it easy for him to read defenses. This is the NFL. Now, if Brian Daboll sees what you're talking about, or what I'm just talking about, like an absolute stud physically, like Josh Allen was, or someone who's got the talented arm, who's capable, who all that needs is the time to learn how to read defenses, and Brian Daboll thinks he could teach that into him the way he did Josh Allen, then I'm on board. I'm on board with whatever Brian Daboll wants to do. I can't be more clear about this. They kept him. He was hired because he developed Josh Allen. Whether you think that's fair or unfair, whether you believe he had a lot to do with it, nothing to do with it, he was hired because of the success of Josh Allen in Buffalo. That's what made him a coaching candidate. And being part of the group that drafted Josh Allen is what made Joe Shane a viable candidate for the job of Giants general manager. They got here based on the fact of drafting and developing Josh Allen. I want them to do it for me. I hired them because they did it in Buffalo. I wanted them to come here and do it for me. And that is still on the table. And if it's Jackson Dart, if it's Milrow, I honestly want whatever quarterback Brian Daboll believes he can turn into a franchise quarterback. That's what I want. Now, if they can pull some crap, I opened the show talking about a lot of the rumors about Jackson Dart and a lot of the rumors about possibly trading back. If they can trade back and still get Jackson Dart, sure, that's a home run. I'm concerned in today's world, the quarterbacks go. And I don't want to play games and miss out on either the great defensive player or the quarterback. And I would fear I'd miss out if I trade back, certainly to the Chargers at 21 or Buffalo at 30, as the last two calls who've had trade proposals for me have suggested. That's scary as hell. And I know the Chargers one is more trading back in to the first round at 21. But still, like the idea like that I would be open to trading the third round pick for a haul and move down all the way to 21, I'm not interested. I'm not even considering it. I would trade back and only even consider it if it's before 9. I'm not allowing. Like, it's got to be Carolina, the Jets, Vegas, Jacksonville, or New England. That's it. I'm not moving back past the Saints because I think they're taking a quarterback, and it might very well be Jackson Dart. And I don't know what the Vegas Raiders are going to do. Yeah, I know they got Geno Smith. Is it out of the realm that they draft Jackson Dart? It is not. Or Shedeur Sanders? It is not. Is it out of the realm the Jets do? I would be very surprised with everything I've heard from the Jets, but they don't really have a quarterback of the future. I can't take the chance that suddenly Muji's like, listen, I just never thought Shedeur Sanders would be here. Like, I can't. If I'm the Giants, I can't mess around. But if they can and get their guy, or they can move back into the first round and still get Jackson Dart, sure. Right? That's the home run scenario. The best scenario, and I'm open to this. I'm not a fool. I just want the quarterback more than I want anything else, so I'm afraid I'll lose it. But if you told me that the draft on Thursday plays out where they draft Carter number 3 and then trade back into the first round and get Jackson Dart, that's best case scenario. I'm thrilled. They got arguably the best player in the entire draft and the quarterback that Brian Daboll loves. That's the best case scenario. I'd be a fool to say otherwise, but I'm just afraid that they don't have that trade. We don't know if we can make that trade. They don't know where Jackson Dart's going to go. Like, Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart might be gone by the 9th pick. I'm not messing around. But sure, if there's a scenario where they trade back or figure a way back into the first and they get the great defensive player and they get their quarterback, sure. Dream scenario. But for me, not coming out of the draft with a quarterback is the nightmare scenario. 888-808-1019. Jeff, I see you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. We'll do a little bit of baseball talk. I want to get into the Yankees, their lineup, Anthony Volpe, and why I'm honestly, and this is the truth now, I'm honestly more excited about DJ LeMahieu than I thought I'd be. I must be crazy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get to a little bit of baseball here. The Yankees, we talked a lot about the Mets and their pitching and Pete Alonso and how much he loves being part of the Mets. I mean, it oozes out of him. And he made another great. I remember poo-pooing a little bit. I got to be fair. I'll be fair when I'm fair. I'm not sure how that came out the way I wanted, but that's fine. I'll be fair when it's warranted. I poo-pooed a little bit. I never said he was bad at scoops. I just was like, yeah, listen, I watched him. Like, when we were talking about his free agency, and I was like, you know, an average first baseman. And he was like, you know, he's great at scoops. Like, yeah, all right, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but I've watched him play. I wouldn't call him a very good defensive first baseman. Well, I got to tell you, so far this year and last night in particular, made an incredible scoop. And the manager, Mendoza, called him maybe the best in baseball at it. And I got to tell you, I think I'm being converted into a believer in how good he is at scooping the ball out of the ground. There is no question he is. I know that's a lot of Met fans have been talking about this for a while, and I never necessarily disagreed. I just didn't think it. I didn't think it rose to the level of actually bringing it up when you were talking about him in free agency. But I have to admit, he is one hell of a. He's really slick around the bag. He really is. And last night made a very, very good play, scooping it up. Plus, you know, he's one of the hottest hitters on the planet. And right now, him and Lindor are kind of carrying this offense. And they don't need much. You know, they got 5 runs last night, added on late. Torrens with a big hit, too. He's been really clutch in the absence of Alvarez. But it's been the pitching. Griffin Canning again. I mean, 11 straight starts without giving up a home run. I mean, that's the story of this team. The Mets pitching is brilliant. And then we get to the Yankees, who lose 3-2 to Cleveland last night. They lose the series. They have now lost 3 out of 4 after winning 7 of 8. They're still 7 of their last 10, so I'm not overly upset about it or concerned. It's a frustrating outing, no doubt. The further you get away from it, the more you think that, you know, Will Warren pitching the way he pitched is probably the most important thing coming out of that game. But the offense, and there has to be a question, there has to be a talking point now about Anthony Volpe. I think that's going to be the next big conversation with the Yankees. I know Bellinger's been awful. And right now, if he continues like this, he's going to opt into his contract and they're going to be forced to pay him next year as well. But Bellinger has a track record, right? I understand that he's had the years in between where he was awful at the tail end of his Dodgers career. But even last year with the Cubs, it was underwhelming, but it was far better than what he's providing now. 2 years ago, he was great, former MVP. Bellinger, it's early. He had a little bit of a back issue. It's been cold. I'm not happy with him, and I'm not trying to make too many excuses, but to me, I'm still, you know, I think there's more belief in Bellinger turning it around. Jazz is an issue right now as well. Wells, really the entire lineup this side of Judge, who's hitting .411 and is the best hitter on the planet. Goldschmidt, who's been great at getting on base and hitting singles, hasn't shown much power, but he's hitting about .370. And obviously Ben Rice, who led off this game with a first pitch home run, he's been a force and a really positive angle. Even Dominguez has been really good left-handed. He's terrible right-handed. And Trent Grisham, obviously, has been very good, who's on paternity and not here for this series. But Anthony Volpe, a couple things with this game and Anthony Volpe. One, very much like the previous years of his career, and more specifically last year, we saw a good start to the season. It wasn't an excellent start. It was a powerful start. He had 4 home runs in his first 6 games or something crazy. And there are some metrics that point to him improving. They talked about it on the broadcast. His chase rate is down. His walks are up. That kind of thing. But you watch the at-bats, and Anthony Volpe continues to give you bad at-bats. And his at-bat in the 8th, with runners at first and second after Jazz, reached because of a time clock violation. He swung at a slider that's not anywhere near the plate. I mean, he has just looked off and really bad. And Anthony Volpe now, and I said this at the start of the year, and I'll say it again now. If Anthony Volpe does not have the breakout year we were all hoping, if Anthony Volpe doesn't show major progression offensively, and right now I don't care what some of the underlying numbers are or some of the, you know, analytical numbers about chase rate and bat speed and whatever else, he's hitting under 200. And other than maybe a double down the line against Kansas City, I can't think of a big-time hit he's had since the first week of the season. And he has had miserable at-bats. He's late on fastballs. He's swinging at breaking balls out of the zone. And if Anthony Volpe does not have the offensive season that the Yankees were expecting, if we are not talking about a 730 to 750 bare minimum OPS to go along with his brilliant defense, and I think, you know, anybody getting on him for that final play of the inning to lead to the third run, that's an impossible play. I saw a bunch of clips of, you know, Volpe boots the ball and the run score, you know, lead run comes into play. He didn't boot the ball. That was an impossible short hop line drive. That was a very difficult play. Overall, he's played brilliantly defensively. I mean, I think he's made a couple of errors, but I mean, in this game alone, he made 2 or 3 great plays. But I thought in Tampa Bay, he played brilliant defense. He is, and his arm strength is not an issue. He is a Gold Glove caliber defensive shortstop. I don't think there's any doubt, and there's value to that. So he doesn't have to be, although he was along the lines of Gunnar Henderson and some of those guys when it came to prospects. He was right there. I mean, I think Gunnar Henderson was more highly thought of, and Bobby Witt Jr. was more highly thought of, but Bobby Witt Jr. was like the second prospect in baseball, and Anthony Volpe was the 6th. Like, Anthony Volpe was in the conversation about being close to being as good as Bobby Witt Jr., and they are worlds apart. But having said that, I don't need him to be Bobby Witt Jr. I don't need him to be Gunnar Henderson. I just need him to be an average, everyday major league hitter to go along with the brilliant defense, because there's value in that at the shortstop position. But if he can't provide that, and he can't be that guy, again, if we are looking at a sub-700 OPS for his third season, you've got George Lombard, who's killing it in the minor leagues. I think he's probably more than just 1 year away at 19 years old. But he then becomes the future shortstop of this franchise. And next year, whether you talk about free agency or whatever else, Anthony Volpe should not be guaranteed a spot next year. Like, Anthony Volpe does not get to be guaranteed the starting shortstop of the New York Yankees next year, no matter how he performs offensively anymore. He got 3 years of it. Now, he earned his spot as the starting shortstop with that spring training. I still believe that. The Yankees made a decision to make that a competition, and he won it fair and square, and he's played good enough defense, and he was the starting shortstop for an American League championship team. But we need far better offensively. And then I'm going to get on Aaron Boone here too. As much as I downplay and get and anytime, you know, guys mention bunts and this or that, I talked about this a little bit yesterday when I was talking about Jazz. But I want the bottom of that order to be using its skill set. And I forget which inning it was, but it's first and second, nobody out, and Anthony Volpe coming up. That is a time where maybe you can bunt. I don't love the bunt. I think the people who cry bunt, small ball, overdo it. But they've got speed and athleticism, and Will Warren was pitching a good game, and you have your bullpen well rested. You want to tack on a couple of runs there. And as bad as the Yankees have been in situational hitting, still with a runner on third, and you know Jason Dominguez, who's got swing and miss in his game, is up next. And you don't love putting the inning on Jason Dominguez there necessarily. I understand why Boone's doing it. I'm not screaming about it necessarily or saying, Boone, what, you're an idiot for not bunting Anthony Volpe. It's not like he's the nine hitter bunting back to the top of the order. He's bunting to 8-9. I don't love that. And I'm not ready to, you know, I don't want to put the inning necessarily just on Jason Dominguez coming through. But, like, that's the kind of stuff. We haven't seen any of that. So much talk going into the year about the athleticism of the bottom of the lineup and their ability to steal bases and run. Now, part of it is they're hitting under 200, so they're not getting on base. Even Jazz has 7 home runs, but he's not getting on base a lot. But when you have opportunities like that, I think it's best to try and use, like, and if Volpe's not, and especially if he's going through a slump, and if he's this streaky, where he shows you a week or two of being an excellent player and then 3 or 4 weeks of being a terrible player, like, when he's going bad, utilize his speed, utilize the athleticism. They're doing double steals. Cleveland did a double steal that cost the Yankees the game. Put pressure on the team a little bit here or there. That's the kind of spot with Anthony Volpe. Use his speed, lay a bunt down, move the runners over. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of that because I think that's how the roster is built. They're not an overly powerful team. And I think that's the time where you can start to use stuff like that. Again, it's not a no-brainer. I'm not screaming Boone's an idiot. But I think they need to start viewing Anthony Volpe in that way and start using different. And when he gets on base, start stealing more. I want to see more athleticism. They have it. We see them. Like, this team, as frustrated as you can be with it, although, again, they're winning a lot. Right? They still have the lead in the division. They're a half game worse than the best record in the American League, which is obviously down this year, as it was last year. But they just won 7 of 8 against Tampa and Kansas City. Like, they had this game, you know, they were playing well enough to win this game, and a weird inning cost them the game. But, like, I'm not overly concerned about the Yankees necessarily. But as many deficiencies as they have, namely the other offensive players around Aaron Judge, at least how they've gotten off to their starts here in April, like, I still look at this team and I see things that we haven't seen from Yankee teams before. Like, I still look at this Yankee team and see a team with a lot of athleticism and a lot of youth and great defensively. Like, we didn't talk much about this because I was on vacation. That series in Tampa, whether it's Grisham, whether it's Volpe. We saw Judge make a great play in right field last night, and he's finally in the position he should be in, where he's a Gold Glove caliber right fielder. Like, I think Volpe made a bunch of really good plays in this game. Jazz makes a lazy throw, but he made a good pick. Like, he's got ability. Like, defensively, they're far better than they were last year. Far better. And even when the bottom of the lineup isn't coming through, when they do get on base, they have the ability to run. We've seen first to third more. We've seen, you know, the ability to do more things like that. The team is built that way. And I think they need to use him more that way, because right now he is in a funk and he looks lost. And we see it far too much. And this is supposed to be Anthony Volpe's breakout year. But, I mean, we saw what George Lombard did in spring training. He's killing it in single A right now. He's only 19 years old, so I don't even think it's a next year proposition necessarily. But we are the next future shortstop of the New York Yankees is in the minor leagues right now. We know who he is. He's going to skyrocket in the MLB prospect rankings. I've talked to a couple people. I read a bunch of things. A lot of scouts throughout baseball think he is going to be a superstar. It's not just the Yankees. He is going to start to become. He's already their best prospect. He's surpassed Jones. He's surpassed Spencer Jones, who's also doing well in Double A right now. But like, that's the next future shortstop of the New York Yankees. Unless Anthony Volpe turns it around. And you know what? If I know Lombard's on the way and Volpe hasn't turned it around, I can go get a shortstop gap stop. I can get an older veteran shortstop who can hit and play the position for a year or two until I have Lombard come up. I don't need Anthony Volpe and his 690 OPS. I like the kid. I do. He played well in the playoffs last year, and I was expecting a big season. And it's April 23rd. It doesn't mean he can't turn it around or have a very good season. But we have to see it this year, or the idea that Anthony Volpe is just the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees and shut up about it, those days are over. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Jeff in Clinton. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, doing great show. Love it. Just want to talk about Luke Weaver. Why aren't we putting him in the closer position? Just letting Devin Williams figure himself out in a middle relief. In a no-pressure situation.
He was in the ninth inning with a four-run lead. Where's the pressure?
He's a stud. I mean, Luke Weaver's a stud. You see him tonight, 11 pitches, just a clean inning. I mean,
why do you have to move him to the closer? Has he not been beneficial where he is? You make it sound like Luke Weaver's being wasted in the seventh and eighth inning. Those innings are important. And Devin Williams, again, you said less pressure. Devin Williams got into the game in the ninth inning with a four-run lead. It's not a lot of pressure.
You're right.
He's been a closer. This is not, I was quoted by the fan, this is not some guy that the Yankees picked up and made closer. This is one of the premier closers in baseball for the last 4 years.
Appearance in Milwaukee? What did he do again? He gave it up to Alonso, right?
So I guess I guess after 97, the Yankees should have taken the closer role for Mariano Rivera.
No.
Or after 2004, they should have had a new closer in 05. Like, I mean, he's putting up Mariano Rivera numbers during the regular season. That's how good he has been. I know he gave up a home run to Alonso. Yeah, sure. But he's been terrible. I'm not trying to dismiss how bad he's been. But, like, what does moving Luke Weaver to the closer role actually do for you? Like, Luke Weaver is pitching. Like, I think you can make an argument, and thank you for the call, Jeff. I think you can make an argument in this game that, like, Aaron Boone bringing Weaver in the sixth. Right? Have Weaver, I mean, I know it's hard to have him ready or whatever, but like, those are the spots where you can use Luke Weaver, two runners on in a two-run game, middle of the order coming up, bring in Luke Weaver to get through that fifth inning. Sixth inning, rather. And then give a clean inning to Leiter. Use your best pitcher to get out of the jams. That's kind of been a changing thing in baseball. Luke Weaver's not being wasted. Moving Luke Weaver to the closer role doesn't necessarily improve this team. they're using Luke Weaver in big moments and big games and big spots. The eighth inning is just as important as the ninth with a one-run lead. And again, it's April 22nd. And honestly, although I do think he's been terrible, and his body language looks like it sucks too, the last outing where he gave up the four runs, if you're being fair, and I understand why Yankee fans don't want to be because he's been terrible prior to that, but if you look at that inning, the walk to Ben Rortved, the nine-hitter, was the real major problem that he made. But the Cabrera made an error at third on an easy play, and then it was nothing but bloops and infield ground balls that beat him. Like, it's not like he was getting banged all over the place. It wasn't like they were, you know, lined like doubles off the wall. And like, you know, he gave up one hit to that young kid Simpson who sliced the ball down the line. Other than that, he barely got touched and he got beat for four runs. Stolen bases led to a base hit scoring two. Like, I just don't think we're there. I don't think we're anywhere near there moving him out of the closer's role. I'm not even thinking about it. This is one of the best relievers in all of baseball. I know that it seems like, you know, Smith closed the game for the Guardians last night. Class A has been so bad, and he was brutal the entire postseason, not just in one at bat against Pete Alonso. He got lit up by Detroit. He got lit up by the Yankees in both appearances. Like, he really struggled in the postseason and now has been awful to start the year. And they kind of, like, took him out of the closer role. I'm not saying you can't ever take Luke Weaver out of the closer role. Devin Williams out of the closer role. I'm just not anywhere near there yet. And he's new here. He's trying to find himself. The last thing I want to do is embarrassing him and take him out of the closer's role right now. At least Class A's been with the Guardians for a while, knows the team, and, you know, has had such success with that organization that it's just a matter of time before they put him back at closer. He'll figure things out. You do that to Devin Williams off of struggling right in his first month in a Yankee uniform, like, I don't want to make things more difficult for him. I'm not there yet.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.